Windows into Eternity with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Concepts of ascension. My name is Al Mean, and on these shows I have been very fortunate to have the assistance of our office manager in Newport, Oregon. And his name is Paul St. John, and he takes the trouble to compile your questions that you send in for those of you that have joined our email list, which we are always delighted to have our light family grow. And when you write in those questions, they end up on his desk, and he compiles them for you, and then we understand concepts of ascension a little better. So, Paul, welcome, and thank you for the trouble that you take to do this for us.
My pleasure, Amin.
And, Paul, just go right ahead with your first question, and we can see where we're going to lead today.
Okay. Well, I mean, in your books you say that everything has a purpose, or that there's an underlying gift to even some of the hardest experiences and things that we encounter. And I'm wondering, since existence has changed so much since the beginning of the Ascension in February 2005, what is the purpose or the underlying gift of those who still live in ways which are obsolete at this point?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Wonderful question. Well, you see, first of all, the lower elements, although it appears to us because of media hype that finds the dregs of society and puts them in our face, we do not realize how small the dregs are compared to where they were. So if we take January of 2005, and we're now in January 2008 as we record this, the vast, vast, vast difference on the level of darkness and also the amount of what's there, it's inconceivable. We won't even attempt to go there because it's really almost an incredible scenario. We don't even see that because that's not something the media gives us. You know, I was speaking on the mystical world we live in, discovering the secrets of the hidden realms, which is our Friday nights at 8 p.m. Pacific time show, and saying that really we are the cutting edge of news because we're the place where we say what has just happened in the cosmos because of the great, great blessing of my communication directly with the mother of all life. But it's much less, number one. Number two, what is the purpose? Well, to find out what is the purpose, we need to understand what would be the greatest thing we are trying to manifest as major light workers on Earth today. It's the New Jerusalem that is discussed in Revelations within the Bible as that place of the reign of the mother and the father. Of course, any mention of the mother has been omitted by the old scribes and so on. But the mother and the father, and the mother being the infinite being that created the father as her first creation, so they function as a unit. Their reign from the New Jerusalem is the most ambitious thing at this time and for the last years that light workers have been working towards. Every purification they do in their own lives by proxy brings it a half a step closer. Well, they actually serve a purpose in materializing this era of peace and golden reign and sacred government. And how it happens is like this. Now, it's a little difficult to understand, so if folks can grab a pencil and a little notebook and make some notes. See, how did we materialize before? Before, And I describe this very carefully in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms, how you can materialize an apple in your hand, or how the apple materializes on the tree. To make a long story short, it used to be, until the polarities changed in August of 2006, that date we mention so often on the show. I think for our listeners that listen often might think it's ad nauseum, but it's so important because all life changed then.
Yes.
You know, so that date, the polarity changed. Up until that time, like frequency attracted its own template in from other realms. Now, manifestation happens in an entirely different way, and those of lesser light play a major role in it. Let's see how it happens. The rules that people should write down on their paper is that opposite light and frequency are now attracting. Same matter and energy is now attracting. Mother has said that the only creation that can take place is creation through an opened heart. So those are basic principles to understand, because this is different. Before August, thoughts would fall into the reservoir of the heart, and joined with the emotion of your heart, it would act upon the awareness, clustering it into form. Awareness is often called the substance of things hoped for. Well, now thoughts are no longer involved, per se, in the creation in the same way that they were before, which means we can't willy-nilly and haphazardly, with chaotic thoughts, create chaos. Only through the heart can new creation come about. So we're just spinning around and around and around on our treadmill unless we live through the heart. But let's say the mind conceives of something. We want the New Jerusalem to materialize. It sees this magnificent city of gold hovering perhaps 40 feet above the land. So the vision is established. The heart fills the vision with love. And through the heart, it is sent forth to materialize. So currently it is scheduled to be, unless Mother changes this again, it's scheduled to be on the North American continent. Strangely enough, something the Mormons have always known. It's just they have got it a little backwards from how Mother says it's going to happen. But the New Jerusalem, we envision it with love above the continent. Our hearts are creating the perception or the light, and our heart is creating the love-filled form of it. But enlightened frequency, same poles don't attract. So that which we're creating, we're not actually manifesting, because we're actually repelling them. We're sending them out like an arrow from a bow because of the fact that they are more attracted by those of undeveloped light.
Mm-hmm.
So now, isn't this interesting? We come up with this grand concept, and where does it go for materialization? To us? No. Because we repel the same frequency and the same, once it's left us, it is shot away because it has the same frequency as our heart and the same light as our mind where it was conceived of. Where is it shot to? It's gone to opposite levels of light and frequency, meaning those of lesser light. Now, can they manifest it? No, we have to continue to fill it with love and praise and gratitude. Because in the Ring of Truth, we have very carefully explained how love, praise, and gratitude is like sticky tape to awareness particles. If you run, let's say, masking tape or something across a fuzzy surface, it'll pick up all the little bits. You send love, praise, and gratitude towards that thought form filled with love that you've just sent out, like that arrow, and it will all the way on the way, it will gather awareness particles. So in other words, you've conceived of this vision filled with love. Now you feed it with awareness particles of love, praise, and gratitude. If there's enough love, praise, and gratitude in an area, it clusters into energy and matter. Now, your arrow, this vision of the New Jerusalem, has been sent to those of lesser light. You're sending love, praise, and gratitude out to it, gathering awareness particles on its way, and close to those of undeveloped light, this vision starts to materialize. But with matter, opposites do not attract. Same matter, same energy attracts. Opposite light, opposite frequency attracts. So, as it starts to materialize, it's materializing at this high level, fed by a light worker's love, praise, and gratitude, and vision, and love. Well, it's repelled by the opposite matter of those that are there. Where is it repelled to? To an area where there's the sameness of energy and matter, because with matter and energy, same poles now attract. They materialize it for us, and they shoot it back.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Extraordinary?
Yeah. I was wondering how this was going to work.
See, so they actually are helping us to create the New Jerusalem. Now, Paul, I will tell you something. We are today on the second new year when we're making this recording, because we record a little ahead of time so that folks out there can go into the archives even before these shows air. And today is the second new year of 2008. Yesterday we lost a large number of the cosmos. Because, and even beyond the cosmos, realms beyond, because Mother has been pruning and pruning and pruning and pruning. And every time she prunes, she gives every opportunity. But those that take more than they give constituted a large part of the cosmos. And as such, they were wiped out. Their holograms are kept in place, especially on Earth. So, in other words, there could be some child abuser walking around somewhere. The abuser at this point is not a real person, not a real spirit, not a real body. And this is important to know. Why has Mother kept that dense energy in place then in the form of a hologram? For this very reason.
Wow.
Because it's being utilized to materialize that which is to come, which is a massive event in which there is a bridging of realms taking place. The New Jerusalem is fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the etheric. So we should tell folks that they will encounter those where they feel nauseated. Just get out of their presence. Lifeless eyes, feeling like you don't want to love somebody and you don't know why that is. Well, it's because it's not a real somebody. So if you feel that, be aware of this, because, you know, people aren't.
Yeah,
and, but see how it ties in? Mother kept
yes.
them for that very reason.
Wow.
But she did proclaim in the Book of Life, which constitutes the laws of reality, it's something that's mentioned quite a bit in the New Testament, the Book of Life. But the Book of Life is the book in which she writes the laws of existence. She did say that they can no longer hurt and harm others. But their dense levels of thinking and so on, even if it's not a real person, stays to help us with the manifestation.
Wow. I think that's going to be very helpful for a lot of advanced light workers. I mean, particularly those who have been curious about how the New Jerusalem is going to manifest, but also just all of those people who have been feeling a change, like you speak about in the way compassion is expressed and how it doesn't quite seem appropriate to just feel this abounding love for absolutely everybody anymore. And what you've explained really helps to place that in perspective for us.
It does, and also not to hang around people where you feel uncomfortable. They might be smiling and seem friendly. They may not even be a real person.
Yes.
You know, Paul, it's time for our first break. Please join us again after this little commercial break, folks, and we'll ask our next question.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. Receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns. Go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today. The Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. We're always delighted when you join us, and we hope also that you will listen to our other show, which is aired every Friday night at 8 p.m., called The Mystical World We Live In, Discovering the Secrets of the Hidden Realms. And Paul, let's go straight ahead, and what would be our next question?
Well, Almeen, recently myself as well as some others who've written into us have asked questions about pain they've been feeling in the temples just beside the eyes. And I was wondering if that at all was linked to some of the recent developments in the cosmos. And if so, if you could explain that to our listeners.
Oh, yes. Well, you know what? I can imagine they would feel that. And a while ago, about the end of 2007, they also would have felt forehead pressure. Because in 2007, and why I'm mentioning this is it's related to my answer, in 2007, towards the end, and Mother did the following. The pineal was turned from looking upward, it was turned to looking downward. And it was rotated after, if you can imagine flipping it from looking upward to downward, and then rotating it actually 180 degrees. And Mother said it's because it was looking backwards, it was looking at the past. And part of that, as we've addressed on previous shows, is because of the way light was flowing linearly and sound was flowing linearly, making it that everything we saw and heard really had just already taken place. Because it took time for it to reach our eye and our ear. Mother changed that, and she changed the pineal from looking backwards and upwards to looking downwards and forwards, actually. So there would have been deep in the head pain when that occurred. And some people, you know, minor, some people it's more major. Then she went ahead and in the pineal gland, the pituitary gland, I beg your pardon, the third eye, it was turned from looking forward to looking inwards. And the reason is because as a whole, the cosmos went from being in Mother's outer space. Like every person has space outside of themselves, called by psychologists directionality and bilaterality, which has to do with an inner sense of space. We moved from Mother's outer to her inner sense of space because it made us more permanent, more real, and created a situation where she didn't need to focus and sustain us every second or we would cease to exist. So when that happened, the pineal and the pituitary themselves were changed to look into inner space. We started to live inwardly more than outwardly. Now, we've just answered in our first segment a question on manifestation. Really, what you're asking seems unrelated, but it's also about manifestation. Because there's a way in which the new bodies of incorruptible white magic that Mother is restoring, and incidentally, something quite extraordinary happened with that last night. So we can talk about that later, but a fourth body of magic became activated last night, which is brand new information. But the point is that these bodies of magic cannot properly be used until this whole system works together. Now, let's go to the temples. We have spoken about how humanity was formed. In millions of years ago, a large human was formed on Earth that created the human grid that we're still living according to. That human was the result of Mother sending emissaries to multiple places within the cosmos and saying, you should go to this planet Earth. She's going to be the pivot point of your future, and you should contribute to the being that is being formed there. The upshot of it was that humanity was formed from various star systems. But there was one star system that either there was a reason that Mother had for not asking them, or they themselves had not formed at that time, or she gave them instruction and they disobeyed it. I don't know. But there was something from the planet Nibiru. Now, Nibiru is written about in our ancient Sumerian records. Zechariah Sitchin, S-I-T-C-H-E-N, has translated some of those records about our interaction with the Anunnaki, or the starseed, from Nibiru. These beings came to Earth about 180,000 years or so ago, found the Earth what they thought was uninhabited because the ancient humans had gone to the inner Earth, because 20,000 years before that, there was a major catastrophe. 200,000 years ago, the Earth was hit by a comet, that's what happened, yes. So I've got what happened when in the Secrets of the Hidden Realms, but the point is that they hadn't reemerged, so they thought it was empty. But they did find a side experiment that came from this human experiment that the Orions had tried to do to make a strong body, and they found them running around in the forests of Africa. And I don't know if they found them anywhere else, but there's an account that that's where they first encountered them, and they used them with their own genetics to try and create a hybrid race, which is what man is, except that man's very much shaped by the human grid. In some way or another, the contribution that the Anunnaki was to give to the human body did not materialize. And what that was, because, you know, they weren't there when the original man was formed, but what that was is depicted in these ancient Egyptian paintings, statues. Let's take King Tut. King Tutankhamun, if you look at the ceremonial makeup that he wore, had this coal or this line around the eye, and then it extends out, like the left and the right eye of Horus. It extends out, I would say, maybe a half to three quarters of an inch. Why? Because it shows that that king had so much Anunnaki blood, he had so much blood from this conqueror race of Nibiru, that he had what humans did not. The two cardinal points of manifesting intent, they're called the seats of manifesting intent. And they are just the other side. If you go out from the outer corner of your eye with your finger, you find a little bony ridge just towards the ear. Of that bony ridge, there's a tiny seat or energetic center. There should be a gland there. And that little tiny gland on either side in the temples was recently activated by Mother, and it will create pressure behind the eyes and some sharp stitch pains in those areas, as well as a headache. So if folks are feeling it, and it's the beginning of 2008, you are having that activated by Mother. This is in preparation for the use of incorruptible, what benefits only the whole, white magic that is being restored on the planet. Now, how does it work? Well, the potential, all potential is kept in a cluster of cells that never renew themselves at the base of your spine. It's at the right there by the perineum area. It goes up the pranic tube, and for every person, if you put your middle finger and thumb together, that is the circumference of your pranic tube. It goes from the top of your head to that base of the spine area. That's the perineum. At the base of the spine, this cluster of cells, the only cells that never knew themselves, holds potential. You have nine clusters that are clustered into one. It's not nine, it's seven. Of 96 cells each. So there's 7 times 96 cells, and there are 3 times 96 cells that are now cells that enable you to do white magic with the power of your intent to enhance life. That potential comes up the pranic tube, up, basically up straight up the spine. It goes into the pineal gland. The pineal gland interprets it and is able to send it through the heart to be manifest. But there are some steps missing. The intent that forms, because you don't want to just be manifesting everything. I remember one time trying to make milk for my baby, and I was so exhausted. I've been traveling around the clock with this little kid on an airplane and little one that I adopted, and I was had my the tap open. I was trying to rinse out her bottle at the time. I was going to fill it with water and then change it to milk. I filled it, but there was milk running out of the tap because I was so unfocused. My intent was not pure, was not focused, that the milk in the bottle, the water in the bottle needs to turn to milk. The milk was spilling everywhere. And so you have to focus with intent. So what happens is these two points, the seats of manifested intent in the temples that are marked by this ceremonial Egyptian makeup, just the same way that people in India mark the third eye, which is very pertinent in this, also with a bindi or a little spot between the eyebrows. So the intent comes from those points, goes to the pituitary gland, the third eye, which is pointed inward now and shoots it inward towards the pineal gland. The intent is inward. The power of the magic comes up the spine. It then has to talk to each other. It has to combine into a language. It does so in the pineal gland, that major interpretation center in the body. It then goes in spirals of light to the heart. And then creation happens through the heart. The intent comes from those points. Without it, we have 3/4 of the pie, but there's a slice or two missing. So, Paul, if you'll get your next question ready, and we'll be with you right after this break.
The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today. After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Al Mean experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer and in the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Al Mean's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Al Mean's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. This is the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Al Mean's journey. She tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvispada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Al Mean's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back. My name is Al Mean, and you are listening to Windows into Eternity, Understanding Concepts of Ascension. We are delighted to have our listening audience with us. You are our light family, and we know that you have been carefully chosen for the sacred information that is being given on these shows. So, welcome again. And Paul, please continue. Are there any other questions from anyone that you want to share with us? And then I'll attempt to answer them.
Sure, Al Mean. Since you got on to the topic of some of the of white magic before the break, I thought it would be a good time to maybe read one of these dreams that came into the office just yesterday, actually. I'm wondering if it has to do with possibly another order of magic. Can I read this email for you?
Yes.
Okay. It's from one of the Polish masters, and she said she had a dream in which she entered into a room in a very old house. There were many of your students sitting in this room, and they all looked very serious, some of them upset because everybody knew or heard that Horse was very upset. And she kept hearing that these words, the horse, but she doesn't say the, she just says horse was very upset. And I wondered why it was horse instead of mother, because everybody who follows your teachings know that you speak about the mother. And you were in another room, and she called another one of the students who was very upset, and there were she goes on to say that people were very serious in various different ways, sitting at and then there was a ball of light hanging in front of a woman.
They were sitting where? At a table?
Yes, sitting at the end of a table.
Okay.
And she looks quite happy. This woman felt was felt as somebody from one of your older students.
Sorry. So we're sitting around a table. There's somebody at the end of the table looking happy, like one of the older students, one of the masters,
yes.
Looking happy. But I'm also at the table sitting.
Yes, and this is in another room, I believe. And and that's where people were sitting around. And you were sitting there, and in front of you there's a ball of light hanging a few inches above the table. And you looked very serious as well. And then there was a second ball of light hanging in front of the other woman sitting at the other end. And she's the one who was one of your older students. And now this Polish master sat down in front, and that woman had looked very happy. And this Polish master sat down in front of you. You were not looking at her, but sitting behind the ball of light. And you had a plate with three poppy seed cakes in front of you. And you were not eating these cakes. And then she looked at the other woman with the ball of light in front of her and noticed that she also had a plate in front of her with three cheesecake pieces. And she was not eating these cakes either. And then she looked back at you and you disappeared. Your seat was empty and then she woke up.
Okay.
I thought that was very interesting, particularly with the horse stuff, at the mention of the horse at the middle, because I've heard you say that the next order of magic will have to do with the horse.
Yes. Okay. And this came in yesterday?
Yes.
Okay. This dream would have been dealt with last night. You know, as you know, I do hours of mother's work each day. Especially once I've got my day's duties done. And so last night, Mother sent me to do possibly what this is referring to. Let's take a look at the symbolism. So there are students of mine in a room. They're not looking happy, so something is wrong, something is undone. The students are the ones, the ones that have become ascended masters, that are the older students. They are the ones that are the first to receive things as they are done, but they're waiting for something. It's like a waiting room. So then there's a room next to it where I was sitting at a table. There's other people around the table, and there was a lady at the end of it. I had a plate in front of me with three poppy seed cakes. She had a plate with three cheesecakes, and each of us had a ball of light in front of us. She looks happy. I don't. And then the master comes to sit at the table. A table in dream symbolism means that decisive action is needed. And, you know, I'm looking unhappy. Something is wrong. Food means spiritual nourishment. A ball of light like that often refers to a body of information. And the decisive action that is needed pertains to three pieces of spiritual nourishment that has to come forward in terms of this ball of light, in terms of a body of information. The other lady looks happy with what she has. What that was about is the following. As you know, in December of 2006, the masters that had come through the time tunnel from ancient Egypt at Clonmacnoi on the 28th of January 2006 were called to full force bring in the Order of the White Rose, the feminine pole of magic, and its incorruptible white magic that Mother has established anciently, a very old house, an ancient an ancient system, because buildings usually either mean belief systems or a system of working within something. The old house is a very ancient system. Regard that as one piece of cheesecake. Then it was prophesied in January of 2007 that in September, the dove, the Order of the White Dove, burst by the Order of the Rose, would come to America. It was carried by a god in the flesh from Ireland to America on the first week, in the first week of September. And the Order of the White Dove, the first members were officially called to be part of the masters of this order in October. But the incantations poured in all September. That's cheesecake piece number two. Then, at the end of October, the masters from Eastern Europe that had moved to Toronto, of which this is one of those masters, started to receive initiations. They started to receive information pouring through, writing pouring through from the body of magic, which is the Kundalini, because the right brain and the left brain is the rose and the dove, and the Kundalini that rises as a result of those two being whole and balanced and expressed, started to come forth. I have had said that there was an Eastern European birthplace. I didn't realize at the time that it was in Toronto. It was Eastern European masters there. But that's the third piece of cheesecake. That woman is very happy because those are established and whole and well. But why I was unhappy in the dream and Horse was angry is that there were the three poppy seed cake pieces had not been established. These are the six bodies of magic that represent the six directions that have to go into the sevens. It's a bit like the, what was that one, that movie used to be out about the ring, the Lord of the Rings, right? The seventh ring controls the six. The seventh ring is Mother's magic. It's in her language. And it holds with the Father the ring that is basically feeding energy to these six bodies of magic. Three are established, three are not, and decisive action was needed. Why? The next one that was going to be established is the magic of the physicality, which is the horse, which is possibly some of the most powerful magic you can imagine. The magic of the horse. This is waiting upon South Africans to awaken to my teachings and to know in their heart the truth of it and to have me come to South Africa. At that time, the Order of the White Horse will be established. And the ancient libraries of that is held in the Zimbabwe area of Southern Africa in a massive underground temple. And there are multiple records that will come through the minute those masters are basically called by Mother. I have to go there, but they have to invite me. So the point of the matter is it's waiting for them to awaken. When that is the case, then I would have gone there and this would have happened. But Paul, do you remember what happened in the beginning of December with the seven directions?
Yes, I do.
They folded in. So things that would have gone linearly, first this direction, then that direction, then this direction, etc., it's no longer, see, the north is the dove, the east is the rose, the west is the serpent, the horse is the south, and then you get the directions of above and below, and then they all go into the within. now they have to exponentially be activated.
Because that mean exactly?
That means that last night Mother sent me to turn their keys. They now active official bodies of magic, even though some of the countries have not even yet had me there to call the masters to run these bodies of magic. Decisive action was needed because the magic was suffering because everything had folded in already.
Mm-hmm.
So things stopped being linear.
Wow.
And, you know, the White Horse magic is for South Africans. And the records are there, and as soon as I go there, those records will open to me, and then I will be able to translate the records and get the incantations and get whatever is needed.
Wow, that's incredible, Almeen. Thank you for sharing that.
It is. Yeah.
So if those records are held in South Africa, and I know the libraries for the Rose are in the Isis, is called the Isis Library, and these for the Dove, it's the Sanat Kumara libraries, which are of ancient Lemuria. Can you tell us where the libraries are for the Kundalini magic, that Eastern European magic?
Yes, it's fascinating because it's not on Earth. It's actually in what they call the Valley of Arulu. And the Valley of Arulu is on Mars. And you know that face on Mars that you see?
Yeah.
It's like a massive monument that people have been querying for a long time. Well, what that monument is actually an effigy. It's like a, maybe that's not the right word. It's a tombstone. Not that it's buried in there, it's actually buried in a little range of mountains nearby, but one of the kings of Nibiru is buried there on Mars, and that is his face with his war helmet on. And so that's called the Valley of Arulu. It's a sacred space because in the Valley of Arulu, there is in the form of a coiled serpent, there are ancient records that are there. And those are the records that have already begun to release. It was on Christmas Day that Mother instructed me, start immediately and translate the first 12 secrets of those records. And so I did. I've translated the first 12 secrets and one prediction. And that has come forth from those records on Mars. You know, the interesting thing of it is, like, if you look outside of Cusco, Peru, there's a place called the Valley of the Moon. And they have a little building there, and you can, you know, they were said to have moon activate certain things there and so on, depending on who you speak to as an archaeologist of why it's called the Valley of the Moon. But in actual fact, there's a tunnel that goes to the moon. And you can pick it up with your camera. If you shoot around that area, and many people have now the capability of shooting pictures interdimensionally, like the ones we have on our website, there is what's called there's a tunnel. And you can see the tunnel. You can have it enhanced with computer. You know, it's not in the film. It's in the location. And you can actually see that tunnel. There are tunnels like that that go through to other areas. For instance, there's a spot in my house where you sat, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't sit there. It'll make you go sleepy because of the information that's held in that spot. And that's because that's where the portal is that goes through to the Kumara libraries. There are tunnels that go through. So, I mean, it might sound like, well, how do you get to libraries on Mars? Not that hard once there's a tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
You're in one side and you're out the other. So it's in the Valley of Arulu there in Mars. Paul, it's time for another commercial break, and please stay with us. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Almeen continues exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces her readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power, Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, Paul, we have about 6 or 7 minutes left. What would be your next question?
Well, Almeen, before the break, you were talking about tunnels to these vast libraries that hold information pertaining to the bodies of magic, which are being reawoken on Earth. I was wondering if there are also tunnels to the inner Earth located some places around the globe.
Yes, there are, and I seem to vaguely remember that I did indicate. Maybe I didn't. I'm not sure. But I think I did because I showed much of the information of the inner Earth. And I think I showed where there are tunnels going into the inner Earth in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms. However, I know that there's one in the Ozark Mountains. I know that there's one in Mount Shasta. The man-made one that I'm aware of is in under the Great Pyramid. There are definitely other sites, like there's one up at the headwaters of the Amazon River. That's a major site that German people went through in the Middle Ages, and they have also, actually in the 1600s, and they also did in the last war. There's one near Argentina, and I don't off the top of my head know where the others are.
But these are physical tunnels, right?
Physical tunnels, yes.
Wow. Are there any that function the way that the... I suppose that makes sense since it's to a physical location. And the other tunnels you were speaking...
No, there are tunnels like that.
Are there? Is there tunnels?
Yes. There's one out of my house.
Okay.
And, you know, like we've lost a dog through there. You know, yeah, there definitely is. Little wiener dog went through there.
Well, I'll be careful then.
Yeah, exactly. That one's in the kitchen, in case you want to know. But it's, you know, it's another gateway that goes through that's non-physical, that is an interdimensional gateway. And the reason Mother established it there is because of the work I had to do in the inner Earth.
Okay. Well, Almeen, the last thing I wanted to get to today, all this exciting talk about these new bodies of magic being established. I'm sure some of the listeners would like to know a little bit more about how to become involved with it. So maybe you could just talk briefly about your classes. I know your website is www.spiritualjourneys.com. So people can go there for information, but maybe a few words from you about the classes, which are certainly not the most appropriate term, but we've got to call them something, so maybe just a few words from you would be helpful.
Okay. Well, we have for 2008 classes scheduled so far in Ireland, the States, Alaska, Canada. There may be one in South Africa, but essentially that is the only place where currently the cutting edge information is given. For example, magic has been released through my books, The Fairy Magic Encountered in Aruba Sirina, Book of Fairy Magic, in the Pegasus and Unicorn and giant magic and so on, is given in the Gift of the Unicorns. Those things are not to be slighted. They are extremely powerful. And when I wrote them down, they had a very potent spell on them. Anybody that tries to access them would fall into the sleep of death. I mean, the experiences I had getting into those bodies of magic, even as they were giving them to me, attested to how valid they are and how incredibly powerful. Even though they sound simplistic, they're not. But there is magic released. The Isis book, which is called Opening the Doors of Heaven, has got profound magical things in it. The Gift of the Unicorn, half of the book is magic. And then there is a book that follows the Isis book, which will be published later in 2008, and it is called Windows into Eternity, and it has the magic of the dove into it. And then there's a book that will come after that, which will be in 2009, which is I'm already translating, and we're hoping to get some of this electronically on our website earlier. So please keep checking for electronic books, because we can get those to you at least by summer. However, the books give what is available to the public. To actually have the keys to this magic in terms of becoming the custodians of it, you need to be an ascended master or above. To get that, you have to work with us for a week. There are enough ascended masters and some that are in the God kingdom in those gatherings that when somebody turns up as a novice, they leave in their mastery. If they don't, they will spin out early in the week if it's too much and too heavy. But if they can make it through that week, they're exposed to profound, profound information, truth, miracles, the company of masters. In 1 week, they will go there. That means their mind will be silenced. If that is the case, they will be called as those holders of keys of whatever body of magic they go to. The Irish masters, for the first time, have opened it up to people in America. They even, will work with us to put us up in their homes if we come. You can't be exposed to that for more than a week without being ready to be ordained as one of the holders of its magic. So we need to close now, and we hope to be with you again next week. Please join us then. Thank you, Paul.
The brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
Enjoy today's show, Windows into Eternity with Al Mee. Please join us again next week.